the worst deals that I've seen aren't the ones that lose money on paper, but they're the ones that make us cost more. They're the ones that cost time and energy and have cost team members over time.
Building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from zero to seven figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work.
Hello, and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. A few episodes ago, we talked about, I guess, how to win at the end of the year. We talked about filling the pipeline, how to continue to try to stay active and motivated in the quiet months, and kind of what I do, like vacation strategy and all that kind of stuff. Today, I want to talk about, I guess, the cost of the customers that you bring on that are not a good fit. And that's another part of a similar conversation. Like, not everything goes in your pipeline, and not everything that comes out of pipeline generation deserves a yes from you. I've said this in the past, and if you've listened to any old episodes recently, we've talked about how all sales are not good sales and all money is not good money. But I think it deserves a revisit and a full episode, because more expensive than no revenue in a lot of cases is bad revenue, which is kind of crazy. And if you're hurting for money, I think that can be a really, I don't know, a hard lesson to learn. When revenue goes up and the number goes up, it's kind of like, how could that be bad? It can definitely be bad. Every client that you say yes to, or every customer that you bring on, is a decision, obviously. And it's also a representation to your team about what your company will tolerate, how you want to feel coming to work, what your team spends time and energy on, what you have capacity for. And a bad fit customer isn't just hard for people. I think it's a tax on everything across the team. It can hurt morale. It can hurt our willingness to come to work. And I want to talk about all of that today. So what bad revenue actually looks like in practice, because I think it never really looks bad the day that you sign it. It looks really good, usually. I can think of a few cases where in the sales process, I was like, I'm not sure that this is a good idea, but usually it looks good. It looks like you needed to fill a gap in the forecast, or you're meeting your growth goals, and the problems usually come later. It shows up in scope, or in onboarding, or in mismatched expectations, or, you know, no matter how clearly something was written or how many times you've said something, the client or the customer just never seems to get it. And it's never their fault. It's definitely always your fault. And then your best people spend a ton of time managing this relationship or bringing on a customer that is being difficult or has expectations that are out of control, instead of doing what they're good at. And that shows up in capacity. We've talked about our capacity system, which is a red, green, yellow system. And this isn't just based on your workload. It's based on how you feel at work. And you can have a light capacity. At my agency, you could have even one of these hard customers and be not meeting your billables, but you could still be orange or red because you're not feeling good about the work that you're doing. And I can think of plenty of specific instances when I'm thinking about this. The worst deals that I've seen aren't the ones that lose money on paper, but they're the ones that make us cost more. They're the ones that cost time and energy and have cost team members over time. And I learned part of this lesson through pricing. Early on, I tiered pricing lower so that we could win work. And I thought it aligned with kind of what our agency was capable of. And I found out that when you price yourself low, people don't appreciate you. It's kind of like when you give something to people for free, they just take it for granted or take advantage of it. They expect work from you for pennies. And the people that push the hardest on price are almost always the ones who value the work the least. I've talked about discounting, about negotiating services. It's a big no-no in my book. And those are some of the first signals that problems aren't in revenue amounts. They're in misaligned mindsets and attitudes.
All right, y'all, it's shameless plug time. I want to take a quick break to chat with you about Excelity, my full service marketing agency. For the last 12 years, we've been working closely with B2B software and service companies. Now we are expanding and looking for growth stage companies with a bold vision, but maybe lacking the marketing strategy or resources to get there. Or hey, you might have resources that just aren't working out. We definitely see that all the time. At Excelity, our team gets results and we have a ton of fun doing it. I'm sure you can tell that from listening to this podcast. So if you or someone you know is a fit, check us out at excelitymarketing.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn.
This is what I want to be clear about though. Saying no is very easy to preach. I feel like everyone does this on the internet, and it's actually very brutal to practice on a day-to-day basis. Because you have to say no to deals. You have to say no to money. You have to fire customers sometimes. That is really brutal. Believe me, I've been there. I know that I will be there again, and it is not an exciting thing to do. So let's talk about how to. Like, how would I actually bring something like this to life? First, I would define what good fit and what bad fit means for your company and do that in writing. This is something I've talked about publicly. I've talked about on LinkedIn. Our ICP includes psychographics, includes exactly the kind of person that we want to work with in mindset, in respect level, in how we treat each other. Because I think in the moment, it is really easy to be like, yep, this looks great. You can negotiate away all of the red flags. But when you have something that you are referring to that is kind of your like deal Bible of sorts, then it is less easy to negotiate away those red flags. Second is learning those red flags that show up in the sales process and making sure that you see them, that you acknowledge them, and that you disqualify people against them, and that your entire sales team is ready to do that. And that's not just their timeline and level of authority and level of budget. It is their behavior. It is the people that disrespect the more junior people on your team, but only respect authority. It is the people that disrespect your time and cancel, no show, ghost you, the person that tries to grind you down on scope, or the person that badmouths all of their past vendors. That is all going to come back to bite you. Believe me, I have learned it the hard way. Third, make sure that you're doing the math before you say yes to a new customer. And that's not just the revenue math. It is things like, what might this cost my team? What might this cost managers? What might this cost in internal time discussing it? Like, what's the opportunity cost and how we could spend our time on a good customer? What's the risk to our morale? These things compound, and they really must be thought about. And the one that makes all of the rest of this possible is keeping the pipeline full so that no single deal can, I guess, scare you into saying yes to a bad deal. I think when we get desperate, that is how stuff like this happens. And so make sure, going back to our summer pipeline discussion, I know summer is quickly coming to an end here, which is very sad, but make sure you're still working hard and you're still out there filling your pipeline, having those conversations, and not putting yourself in a place where you are going to be desperate for business. So I guess in closing, I think everyone says that they're selective. It's really easy to preach and claim this, but almost no companies actually are, because being selective costs you money. It costs you time. But on the flip side, it pays you back tenfold, in my opinion, in trust, in, you know, capacity to bring people up through your company that have a similar mindset and that treat people right and that are going to also bring on the right kind of business. The companies that feel good to run, which after 13 years, it's taken a lot of trial and error, but I have learned this, is it's where the team is energized, the work is strong, the clients stay, and none of that happens when you have people that have the wrong attitudes and the wrong expectations. So I will leave you with this. If you look at your customer list today and they all came back through the pipeline today, knowing what you know now, would you say yes to all of them again? Is there an honest answer where you need to reevaluate something? And if you need to reevaluate, what is the work that you need to do to get yourself there? All right, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next time.